Today's podcast is sponsored by RadRx, your source for quality online education for interventional and diagnostic radiology coding, taught by subject matter expert Stacy Buck. For more information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Struggling to learn interventional radiology coding? If so, RadRx has the perfect solution for you. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology online training program. In this program, interventional radiology coding expert Stacy Buck breaks down the complexities of interventional radiology coding in easy-to-understand terms so you can grasp this complex specialty. Through her course, Stacy has assisted many coders with little or no interventional radiology coding experience in successfully passing the CIRC exam on the first attempt. For additional information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Stacy Buck.
Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says. I am your host, Stacy Buck. Thank you for tuning in. In today's episode, I'm going to share on the value of volunteering in your professional association. Specifically, I'm going to focus on five main areas. The first being volunteer opportunities with AHIMA and AAPC. Then I'll share a little bit about my experience in volunteering over the years. Then I'll talk about the benefits of volunteering, how to choose the right position for you, and then also some tips on managing your volunteer role. Now, most, if not all of my listeners are going to be a member of either the American Health Information Management Association, AHIMA, or the American Academy of Professional Coders, AAPC. And so those are the two organizations that I'm going to focus on in today's podcast. There are so many ways that you can get involved, whether you're a member of AHIMA or AAPC. Now, I will be honest, I don't know a lot about AAPC and all of the opportunities that exist in AAPC, only because I have never been involved with the AAPC. Now, there's a reason for that, the reason why I have not gotten involved with AAPC. And that's because at the chapter level, to serve as an officer, there's a little bit of a barrier there because many of the positions require that you have a core credential from AAPC. The only credential that I have from AAPC is the CIRCC credential. So that does not allow me to serve in some of these positions. So that is why I have not gotten involved at the local chapter level. The extent of my involvement at the local chapter level is speaking at meetings and not serving only because that is a barrier. If that's not there, I would have gotten involved years ago. But that's the first place that you want to start at, whether you're a member of AAPC or AHIMA. You have your local chapters for AAPC, and then if you're an AHIMA member, you have local regions that you can reach out to and get involved with. If you're not sure about your local region, if you're an AHIMA member, you can find out about your local region through your state association. They will tell you the local region that you belong to and how to get in contact with them. And then with AAPC, to find your local chapter there, you can go to the AAPC website and find out your assigned AAPC local chapter. So you have those opportunities locally to be involved on committees, to be committee members, to chair committees, and then also serve on a board of directors as well. And that is really where most volunteers get their start, is at that local level. That doesn't mean that you have to start at the local level. You can certainly jump in at the state level. My first volunteer experience was volunteering at the state level. And so it certainly isn't a prerequisite, but it is helpful to start out at the local level, work your way up to the state level, and then move on to the national level. So there is a logical progression there. So if you have aspirations of being the president of AHIMA, for example, you would probably want to start at the local level and work your way up over the course of several years and just get more volunteer experience and get more knowledge about the organization and the profession. So I would recommend with either organization starting at the local level. Now, with the AAPC, they also have a chapter association board that you can serve on, and they also have their national advisory board as well. So once again, those two options would be a logical progression in serving with the AAPC. Now, with AHIMA, there's, as I said, we have component state associations. So if you're a member of AHIMA, you are a member of your state association. And at the state level, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can serve as a committee member. You can serve as a committee chair. You can eventually serve on the board of directors. And then at the national level for AHIMA, they have lots of practice councils. They have planning committees. They have task forces. And then ultimately, you could run for the board of directors of AHIMA. So there's a lot of different things that you can do within the organizations, many different levels at which you can serve. I know some people have no desire to serve in a high profile position, and that's fine. You know, that's not something that a lot of people do to serve at that national level. Like, you know, people look at the AHIMA board of directors like, wow, that's like, you know, so amazing and so prestigious. And that's something I want to do. And at one time I thought about doing it. I wasn't thinking about it when I started volunteering, like, oh, one day I want to be on the AHIMA board of directors. I never thought about that. But as I got more involved and I was moving up into different volunteer positions, it became more of a reality. And I did consider it. And actually, one year I did submit my name to the nominating committee for the AHIMA board of directors. And I was not selected for the ballot that year, which was disappointing that I wasn't selected. But in hindsight, I'm glad it didn't happen for many reasons at that particular time. And then a lot of people said, oh, you should do it again. You know, you should definitely submit your name. Eventually you'll get selected. And I just decided that it's not something that I want to do. And that would be another topic for another day, why I made that decision. But I did not do anything at that level. So I feel like I did as much as I could, just short of serving on the AHIMA board of directors. That was just the top echelon there that I never reached. And that was actually by choice. I decided not to pursue it any further. So get in contact with AHIMA. They have a form on their website. It's an application to volunteer. And so they will try to match you up with the appropriate activity based on your application. Also reach out to your component state association. I know Florida, we have our positions posted out there. You can see the job descriptions for the committee positions, board positions, see if that's something that you're interested in. And then to reach out to local regions, if you're an AHIMA member, your state association can put you in touch with your local regions. And then with AAPC, like I said, I'm not intimately familiar with those opportunities, but you can certainly go out to the AAPC website and then start doing some digging there for opportunities and definitely connect with your local chapter. So let me talk to you a little bit about my experience volunteering. My whole entire career, I have always encouraged people to volunteer. It's one thing that I've always spoken about, that I feel very strongly about, that every member of a professional association should volunteer in some capacity. And volunteering has been a large part of my career at many levels. I have been serving in a volunteer capacity for 20 years. And that service is to the Suncoast Health Information Management Association, the Florida Health Information Management Association, and the American Health Information Management Association. And I served on a lot of different groups, a lot of different committees. I've served on different boards. At the local level, I served on the board for the Suncoast Health Information Management Association. I had 2 terms as president there. For Florida, the Florida Health Information Management Association. I chaired several committees for Florida over the years. I also served on the board of directors for Florida. I'm actually currently on the board of directors for Florida. This is my 3rd time through being elected as a director. And back in 2007 to 2008, I was actually president of the Florida Health Information Management Association. And then at the national level, I served on several committees and practice councils. And just to share some of the groups I served on at the national level, I'm doing this to show you the variety in how you can serve. And I'll share some of the things I did at the state level too, just briefly. You know, for example, with the health information, the American Health Information Management Association, I was a member of the CCSP exam construction committee, the RHIA exam construction committee. I also served on a physician practice council member, a personal health record practice council member, a coding community council member. I was a committee member for the four Triumph Awards, the merit scholarship as well. You know, I was a student mentor for them. There were just so many opportunities there at the national level to get involved. And then at the state level with Florida, I chaired the FIRE committee, which back then stood for Find, Inspire, Recruit, Educate. It was for students and new professionals. I chaired the legislative committee, which was really fun that year because I got to be very involved in planning our first ever Hill Day at the state level. So that was super cool. And then I've served as the program committee chairperson, professional recognition committee chairperson. And as I said, I've been on the board multiple times. So there's not a shortage of different ways that you can get involved within the professional association, whether it be at the local, state, or the national level. Now, for me, I always was personally motivated by making a difference for the members of the organization. And then from there, the personal benefits just naturally flowed from that. So I never got involved to build my resume. That was not what I set out to do. I really wanted to get involved and make a difference within my profession and also serve the members of the association. And I have to say that volunteering at the national, state, and local levels has been so rewarding, both personally and professionally, over the past 20 years. And I think my best and most rewarding experience was serving as president of FHIMA from 2007 to 2008. And that seems like so long ago. I'm like, am I really that old? I'm like, I was really young back then when I was president of FHIMA. And really, you know, several of the accomplishments of which I'm most proud didn't come on the job or even in my own business, but rather they were tied to my work with the Florida Health Information Management Association. You know, during my year as president, I had so much fun. We accomplished so much. We made a lot of changes, and it's really cool to leave an impact on your organization and leave an impact on the people around you. And because I keep kind of popping in and popping out, they can't get rid of me. I still want to come back and serve and be a part of the organization. It's kind of cool to see some of the things that my team implemented back in 2007, 2008, when I was president, to see those things still being done to this day. You know, makes me feel good that, you know, our group, you know, we were able to leave an imprint on the organization. And so it's not just, you know, me as president, but it was my team. I had the best team anyone could ever ask for as far as people on the board with me, also my committee chairs, committee members. We did so much. And so I'm very proud of the time that I put in back then and the work that was accomplished back then. And for me, one of the reasons why I enjoyed serving in leadership positions, specifically as a volunteer, as a committee chair on the board, as president, is because in my career, in my jobs, I never managed any employees. I never had any direct reports, and I didn't really have an opportunity to showcase my leadership abilities and build those leadership skills. And the professional association allowed me the opportunity to do that. You know, I developed so many new skills through my experiences in volunteering. And then I also had the opportunity to work with so many amazing people, meet lots of people, and I've made so many friends along the way. I mean, there are people who I consider now lifelong friends that I have met through my volunteer experience. So I can't, you know, say enough about volunteering and how much it's meant to me in my personal life. So now let's talk about some benefits of volunteering. You know, why should, you know, you volunteer? Well, I feel like you need to look at your motivation for volunteering, obviously. As I mentioned, I just wanted to make a difference in my profession and I wanted to serve the association. And I think that that's very important. That, you know, that is a focus. It shouldn't just be, volunteering shouldn't be self-serving. I feel like it should be a win-win, like a give and take. So obviously one of the benefits of volunteering is building your resume. It does build your resume. I think sometimes it can be helpful when potential employers see that you are involved in your professional association. It can help you with your career advancement potentially. If you happen to be looking for work, if you're out of work, volunteer within your association. Help fill that gap on your resume. Also, if you're looking for work, it can help you network. And that's really another great benefit of volunteering is that you have the ability to expand your professional network. For me, it opened up opportunities for my business. I got to meet a lot of people that I would not have normally met if I had not been involved, particularly when I was involved at the state level with FHIMA when I was president. You get to travel to national meetings and you get to meet a lot of people who are leaders in other state associations and network with them. So I actually ended up getting business just by meeting other people who happen to have a need for the services that my company offered. So that was a nice perk. Also, so if you have your own business, it's a great opportunity to network and possibly develop relationships that could lead to future business. Also, you can be in the know about job openings when people don't know about them. Most of the job opportunities that are out there, people find out about them through networking. The majority of people find out about jobs through networking. It's so valuable. So the more people you know and that know you, then your profile is elevated. You know, there's more visibility there when you're serving these positions. People know you, they'll remember you, and it can help advance your career. It can help you land a new job. It can help you get a new client. And then also what's cool about it is, let's say you're having a problem, you're having like an issue and you need some advice from a peer. That's another way that it helps you by expanding your network, is maybe you've met somebody who is in a position who has done something that you're currently working on or has worked through an issue that you're currently struggling with. You can reach out to them. So there's a lot of value there. It also, one of the benefits of volunteering, also will help you develop new skills and practice skills. As I mentioned, for me personally, it helped me develop my leadership skills because I didn't really have the ability to do that in any of the jobs that I held. So that's very important to practice those leadership skills. I would say one of the biggest things it helped me with is just interpersonal communications and interactions with people. Now, because I was not managing people on my job, I didn't have any direct reports, I didn't have to deal with a lot of the issues that a manager would have to deal with or a director would have to deal with, you know, working in a facility. But when you come into this leadership position where you're managing volunteers, you're dealing with all kinds of personalities and conflicts and things. And you have to learn how to deal with different people and how to manage different people and how to work with them. So for me, it really helped me get better at that. And I'll admit, sometimes it was like beating my head against the wall in working with people. It's not always easy when you bring a group of people together who have different personalities and different expectations to work through some of the challenges. So I just feel like it was very valuable to me, and it changed how I look at things, how I approach things, how I work with people. I feel like my style kind of evolved and changed over time as I was serving in different positions. So I feel it was very helpful to me personally in that area. Also, you know, project management skills, it's very helpful. And just professional development in general. Like I said, it helps you develop new skills and then you can practice skills that you already have. And then it also helps build confidence as well. When you are working with teams and you are, you know, accomplishing big things and you are recognized for your contributions, it will do that. And then on the personal side, making new friends. I think that is one of the, you know, most valuable personal perks of volunteering, is that you're meeting new people and you're making new friends. I have so many friends in my life because of my involvement with the Florida Health Information Management Association and the American Health Information Management Association. And these are people that will be lifelong friends, you know, hopefully as far as I'm concerned. And so we have a lot of great fun working on projects together within the association. And then we have a lot of fun outside of the association, just seeing each other socially. And so that's been one of the biggest personal benefits outside of career benefits, just having the friends. And then, as I mentioned, one of the benefits of volunteering, well, well, this is a benefit of volunteering, I should say, make a difference in your profession. That's a benefit. I said that that's a motivation, but it's a benefit. It's a benefit to your organization for you to get involved because you can make a difference. And every organization needs new people. It needs new ideas. And there are, you know, a couple of things that are kind of like my pet peeves when it comes to this. When you have members of an organization that want to sit around and complain about everything that's wrong with the organization, but they don't want to get involved. If there are things that you don't like about the organization that you're a member of, that is a reason why you should get involved. You should become part of a solution. You should become that change agent. You should work to facilitate change. To me, that's very important. So don't sit around and just criticize those that are in charge. Join that group and then be part of the solution. And then here's the second pet peeve that kind of ties into what I just said. You know, I've heard a lot of people say over the years, oh, it's just a clique there, that group, those board members, this group, it's the same people all the time. You know, they're very cliquish. Well, you want to know why you typically find the same people serving over and over again? It's not because it's some special clique or because it's designed that way. The reality is it's often a struggle to find new volunteers, and the same people keep stepping up and serving over and over again. I can tell you at all of the different levels I have served, I have always wanted new people. I have welcomed new people. And so many leaders that I know want new people, want new ideas. We want to see diversity and representation. So that is a desire, but we need all of you as members of the organizations to step up and get involved. So if you want to see a change in your organization, then get involved in the organization and then become part of making that change. So when you're considering volunteering, you want to make sure that you choose the right position for you. You want to make sure that you have a good fit. That is going to be the key to success in any volunteer role. Whether it's a committee member, whether it's a committee chair, whether it's a board member, whether it's president, you know, of a regional association, you know, local, you know, chapter, whatever the case may be. So one thing that you should look to do is make sure that your volunteer work aligns with your interests and your goals. So you want to identify your goals. Why do you want to volunteer? And then does it kind of tie in with your personal and professional goals? Obviously, there should be some correlation there. As I mentioned, I don't think people should do it purely for selfish reasons, but there has to be some type of alignment there. And then you also want to identify your interests and what would you enjoy doing the most. And like I said, you don't want to do it for selfish reasons, but if you simply serve, the benefits are going to follow. Now, usually what I recommend to those who are considering volunteering beyond why do you want to volunteer, what do you enjoy doing the most, making sure it's aligned with the interest and goals, is to look for overlap in your daily work. What are you already doing on the job that could benefit the association through service on a committee, through service on the board of directors, whatever it may be? If you have the ability to take your personal knowledge and expertise and put it to work for the association, that makes it a bit easier. You're not starting over from scratch. You're not like, you know, building something from the ground up. You're simply, it becomes more of an extension of you and what you're already doing, which makes it a lot easier. So I think that's important. For example, you know, I recently reached out to Brian Quig, and he mentioned this in his YouTube vlog, that I reached out to him about serving possibly as the committee chairperson for member retention, student engagement, that committee for FHIMA. Why did I reach out to him and ask him? Well, he's already very involved within our profession, not with FHIMA, but I felt like that was a good fit because of what he's already doing within the profession. I feel like this is a good fit. He's kind of already doing this in his own way. And I feel that it could be a win-win of benefit to the association and then of benefit to Brian as well. And he did decline to do it. And I understand why he declined. And that's fine because he didn't feel that he could give the time to it and take on additional responsibility, which I will talk about, you know, that as well. but you want to try to find something that's like a natural fit. Don't try to put the, you know, round peg in the square hole and then cause frustration for yourself and then those around you. So try to make it fit into your area of expertise or an area that you're passionate about. So what you want to do is hopefully there's a job description for the position that you're considering. Not all organizations are great at documenting this. But like I said, the Florida Health Information Management Association, we have job descriptions posted on the website. So any member can go out there, view them, look at them. And so you want to look at the job description and look at the responsibilities for the position that you're considering. Not just the responsibilities, but the amount of time involved. That's very important. If you can get a feel for the amount of time involved, how much time do you need to put in, you know, on a monthly basis, or maybe it's a more active committee where you're doing something on a weekly basis. If you're a board member, you know, how much time are you devoting to serving in your position? Also, you want to find out about in-person meetings or remote meetings. Are all of the meetings conducted remotely, say via Zoom or GoToMeeting, or are you required to travel to in-person meetings? If so, where are you going? How far are you traveling? Are you staying within the state? Are you traveling out of state? When I was on president for FHIMA, there were national events that I had to go to for AHIMA. So I had to travel out of state to go to those. So that's something you would need to know. You know, serving on the Florida, you know, board of directors, we have half of our meetings in person and half of our meetings remote. So you have to take time to travel to meetings. And oftentimes these meetings, you have to take time off from work to go to these meetings. That's why it's important to know, you know, with that. And along with that, does your employer support allowing you company time for your activities? So if you have to travel, if you have to go to in-person meetings, does your employer support that? Do you have to use your own paid time off? Some employers make you use your own paid time off to go serve in this capacity. Some don't. Some fully support it. I always had the full support of anybody that I worked for and didn't have an issue. And then once I was out on my own, I have complete control of my own schedule. It's not a problem. But you want to make sure that you consider all of those things, because what I find sometimes with volunteers, one of the barriers or why people aren't successful is they lack support from their employer. So does your employer support you serving in that capacity? Will they allow you company time to serve in that role? For example, maybe you do a committee meeting, you know, during the week, during business hours. Will they allow you to do things like that? So travel is important, the amount of time involved, in-person meetings, remote meetings. You want to make sure, you know, that you're not over committing when you are choosing to serve in a volunteer role. So in addition to the job description, reviewing the job description for the position, you want to review any policies and procedures that might be available to you, and have a conversation with the person currently serving in the position. Whatever position you're thinking about, you know, applying for, you know, serving in, contact the person who is currently serving in that and open up a dialogue with them. Hopefully, they will be willing to answer questions for you about the particular position. And then just something else to consider is, are there any direct and tangible fringe benefits available to you for serving in that role? For example, with the state of Florida, when we serve for FHIMA, if you're a committee chair, you get free registration to the annual convention. If you're a board member, you get free registration to the annual convention and all of your hotel paid. You get travel paid. So at different levels, you have different fringe benefits that you can take advantage of. And that's going to vary from position to position. So those are all things that you should consider for the right fit. Make sure that the volunteer work aligns with your interests and goals. Look for overlap in your daily work. Make sure you review the job description for the position, the responsibilities, the amount of time involved. Is there travel or not? Review policies and procedures. Does your employer support you serving in that role? And then have a conversation with the person currently in the position. So just some final thoughts for success. Just briefly, I want to talk to you about managing your volunteer role. The number one piece of advice that I can give you about managing your volunteer role is treat your volunteer role like a paid position. People are watching, believe me. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been actively involved as a volunteer for 20 years, and I have observed a lot of people in leadership roles drop the ball on things and not produce and not meet their commitments. And people see that. And I can tell you from my experience, these are people I would never invite to participate on a team. I would never consider hiring them working for me. Now, they may be successful on their job in their job duties. I don't know. I don't work with them in their organizations, you know, what they're doing 40 hours a week. I don't know how they perform. I can only judge them based on how they're performing in their volunteer role. And based on that, if you're not a team player, if you're not meeting your deadlines, you know, things of that nature, that's going to be problematic and I'm not going to work with you. So that is something that you need to consider, that you don't want your volunteer role to become a professional liability to you. So you don't want to overcommit. You want to make sure that you have the time that is required to devote to that position. That's why it's so dangerous, I think, sometimes to take on something just as a resume builder. Like, oh, I'm going to serve in this position. I'm going to get this title because I think it will advance my career. Because you're not as dedicated to doing that position. There's a danger there and not taking it as seriously and treating it that way. So you want to make sure that you treat it like a paid position. It's not, but you want to make sure. When I first started volunteering, I was, you know, very young. I was in my 20s and I was a newer professional. And I would have leaders tell me, just based on my performance in my volunteer roles and leadership positions, they would say to me, if you ever need a job, please come talk to me, because they saw how I was performing in a volunteer position. If you have someone knocking it out of the park who's not getting paid, imagine how much more you're probably going to get out of them as an employee if they take that volunteer position so seriously. So those of you who are newer professionals who are looking for those opportunities for career advancement, really, volunteering is a time for you to shine, take on those roles and show what you're capable of. And it can lead to job offers based on what people observe in your volunteer positions. Now, sometimes what happens is you take something on when you commit to it, you have the time, and then life happens and things come up. We all understand that. And these are volunteer positions. And it's not the top priority like in our lives. And I get that. And people within the organization understand that, because we all face a lot of the same struggles. If you find yourself in a situation where you don't have the time or something has come up or you're overwhelmed, ask for help. Ask for help and then delegate. If you're in a leadership position, say a committee chair, don't try to do it all yourself. Delegate work to your committee members and hold them responsible for completing certain tasks. And then worst case scenario, if you can't meet the demands of the position, if you just realize, wow, this is too much, I can't do it, then consider stepping down from that position and let somebody else step up into that position. I personally feel it's better to resign than to finish a term in a position and then not deliver on the expectations. I feel that it's better to just admit that I have too much going on, I have to take a step back. Please let me help you find someone else who can step in and assist and serve in this role, since I don't have the ability to do it right now. And then something else I would recommend, if you have served in a volunteer position, particularly a committee chair position, I feel like this is very important. When the new committee chair is coming in, assist them with their transition and support them. Sometimes you have committee chairs that are experienced and don't need a lot of handholding and don't need a lot of direction. Other times you do. You have people that come into positions and they want to serve, but they're nervous about it. They're intimidated, at the thought. And so they really need that support from the person who was serving in that role before they were. So that's just something nice, a nicety, I believe, that you should extend, a professional courtesy to the person that follows you, because people do remember how they're treated. That is a very, that's very true. I mean, somebody can be a great performer, but if they're not good to people and they're not very helpful, then that can also be a liability as well. So I guess the last thing I'll say about this with volunteering is, volunteering in your professional association can show your strengths, and it can also show your weaknesses. And so I'll kind of leave you with that thought. And so the important thing is, if you notice through your experiences that you have some weaknesses, to work to overcome those weaknesses, and then eventually take those weaknesses and then transition them into strengths. I had a lot of, difficult things I had to navigate in my different roles. I'm not going to lie. And some things I learned the hard way. Like I think I said earlier, like sometimes I felt like I was beating my head against the wall in certain circumstances. But you learn to keep going and you learn to persevere, understanding that you are working with other people and that relationships are very important, and treating people well is very important through any of these. And then the last piece of advice, I am going to wrap up on this. I'm like the pastor. And in closing, like the pastor in church. Oh, God. Oh, shoot. Now I lost my thought. What was I going to say there? Oh, darn it. Well, okay, I lost it. So I guess I am going to wrap up. And it was a profound thought too. So maybe it'll come to me in a future podcast episode. So anyway, I encourage everyone to volunteer in your professional association. Like I said, it is one of the most rewarding experiences I feel professionally, to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And again, the benefits are just going to flow out of that service to your profession and to those around you. So I want to thank everyone again for tuning in. And I just want to remind you that you can submit questions for me to Ask Stacie. That's Ask Stacie, S-T-A-C-I-E, at radrx.com. And I would like to have an Ask Stacie segment in the podcast, but I need your questions to do that. And these can be any types of questions on any topics if you would like me to answer. And then also, if you just have general feedback about the podcast, podcast@radrx.com, you can submit suggestions for future topics, or just, share your thoughts in general on the podcast. And just a reminder, we are on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Cast. Most of our listeners, according to the analytics, are on Apple. So if you're listening to us on Apple, please rate the podcast and provide a review. That would be most appreciated. And once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing with you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to Who Cares What Stacie Says? You can connect with Stacie on social media. You can find her business page for RadRx on Facebook, and you can connect with her personally on LinkedIn. Don't forget to check out the online training courses offered by RadRx: Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology Online Training, or Cracking the Diagnostic Radiology Code Online Training. Thanks again for tuning in to Who Cares What Stacie Says? A podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level.